Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.
All right, time to talk a little hoops with a good friend of the show, the head coach of the Pig Suey Arkansas Razorbacks. Took his team to the Elite Eight last year, where they lost to the eventual champion, Baylor Bears. I'm talking about none other than Eric Musselman. Muss, what's going on?
Hey, Tom, it's great to join you guys again. Appreciate it.
How things been?
Good. I mean, I don't know if anybody in the Bay Area turned on and watched the Arkansas Razorback baseball team.
Yeah, well, last night.
But we had an insane environment. It's we're in the outfield. It's called the Hog Pen. Pretty rowdy section out there, and so I spent a little time out there as well as sitting by the dugout. I mean, I don't know if I've ever been in a baseball stadium that was louder. We had about 32 hog calls, too. Normally, there's a few, but last night there was about 32.
Were you wearing your plastic Razorback headwear?
I do not go with the headwear. I like to go straight visor. But yeah, it was an awesome environment.
That's the one thing.
I mean, the hog nose. I mean, there's a lot of different things you can do.
I've never been to the campus, but I would suspect that they go pretty crazy for all their sports there. I mean, we always think of the SEC as a football conference, and it is. But Arkansas basketball, you're getting them back. They under Nolan Richardson. I mean, they were big time. I know the baseball program. It's pretty big time. I mean, it just seems like all the sports there, when things are going really well, and maybe even if they're not, but when they're going well, it seems like the support there is never an issue.
No, it's awesome. I mean, we talked about the baseball team. Our softball team was awesome this year, and they had sellouts because they hosted the regions and super regions, and really cool. I mean, our track team, I tell guys all the time, it really is a campus of champions. Our men's and women's track team wins national championships and cross country. And, you know, our women's basketball team's top 20 team in the country and has five stars coming in this upcoming year. And Coach Pittman's got the football team moving in the right direction. So I tell you what, you got to win here or else. I don't know how much support if you don't win it. You definitely don't want to turn on Sports Talk Radio. I promise you that.
a little rougher than the Bay Area, I assume?
A little rougher, man. I'll tell you what. Like, we lost two games before we got on our roll that kind of took us through the NCAA tournament. And we got blasted at LSU, blasted it at Bama. And I told my wife, like, hey, I think you might want to get some moving boxes quickly because things were not real cool after those two losses.
Well, I would imagine they've changed their tune after the run you guys had in the tourney, which, I mean, look, it could have gone either way early, but you guys had a real couple nice wins. You beat Tech, Texas Tech. By two, I want to say it was Oral Roberts by two, and the composure you guys played with down the stretch in those games was pretty big time, because it wasn't like you just rolled into the Elite Eight. You had your moments, and you passed both those games with flying colors.
It's really interesting, you guys. I mean, for whatever reason, the run we had at Nevada where we made a Sweet 16, mm-hmm. Those games that we won, we were down 10 or more in those games. And then
you were down like
year,
20 to San Diego State, weren't you?
No, we were down 22 with about 9.5 minutes against Cincinnati.
Cincinnati, that's who it was.
That was it.
Yeah, I Coach Cronin was pretty happy after that game.
Oh, I bet he was.
Absolutely thrilled.
Yeah, and he and I, you know, same size, both. I think he's smaller than me for sure. I mean, I'm 5'7", about 146. He's probably 5'5", and I don't know, 158. We could add a boxing match post game. That would have been a entertaining thing.
I would have put my money on you, man. You would have taken him.
If not, I wouldn't have quit. I know that.
Eric, you know.
So let
funny.
Me ask. Oh, go ahead, Krug.
Oh, I was just going to say that I was going to credit Eric because he, you know, I really felt like you kind of, with your timeouts and, you know, your team fell behind in some of these games, I felt like you did an incredible coaching job at kind of, you know, bringing your team throughout the game. And, you know, I wanted to ask you about the way, you know, the last game. I know you got the Warriors just worked out your kid, Jalen Tate, yesterday. But in that last game against Baylor, man, I mean, Baylor, they proved it against the Zags, right, in the national title game, that they're just stacked. And as a guy who coached in the league, what do you think of the futures of some of those guys on Baylor, like Davion Mitchell and Matthew Mayer and Butler? I mean, I think all those guys have a bright NBA future, but how do you see it?
Yeah, no, first of all, Larry, thanks for talking about the timeouts and all that, because that's probably Warrior fans and Sac Kings fans probably did not think anybody would say we had good timeouts and good game strategy. So I really appreciate the kind comments.
Hey coach, for you, that's called growth, my man. That's called growth. Congratulations.
But Baylor, I'll tell you what. I mean, when you look at Davion Mitchell, I mean, when he was not in the game, because we did get him in a little bit of foul trouble in the first half. He played 28 minutes, and in those minutes, we had no chance. I mean, it's the one team that I thought just kind of punched us in the mouth. Although we played him closer than any other team, we were the only team in the tournament that played him into single digits, and we kept clawing away and cutting that thing to 3 or 4 points. But one player in particular, Mitchell, because it was both sides of the ball, we couldn't even have our point guard bring the ball up the floor against Mitchell because he got into you, he gave you no airspace, he was reaching, grabbing. And then guys like Butler, I mean, he's a great shooter. He banged 2 threes against us and was 4 for 4 from the foul line and was really efficient. But you're right, when they come off the bench with Matthew Mayer, I mean, he was absolutely incredible. He was all over the floor, had 3 steals in the game. That was a really talented team and a team that had played with great confidence and bravado. And you saw it against Gonzaga. I mean, they just came in and just took the ball away from them. And it was basically 5-on-0 skeleton drill, dry run offense, the way they were able to tear apart Gonzaga.
So I'm sure you've thought about this. I know you've been asked this. What do you do for an encore? I know what you desire to do, but, I mean, now you've got that program back to where, you know, it's on the map. I mean, let's be real. Nobody's thought about Arkansas basketball since 40 Minutes of Hell. So you've accomplished something very, very significant. But how do you keep pushing it forward, and how do you operate in today's college athletics space where – guys can transfer anytime they want to. Name, image, and likeness is coming. I do get the sense that you're a hip cat, if I could use that very unhip phrase. You seem to understand these young kids now and the way they move and the spaces in which they operate, so I don't get a sense it'll catch you off guard. But yet this is still uncharted territory for a lot of people in college basketball.
Yeah, no question, Rod. It really is. I mean, first of all, I got to look out my office on Nolan Richardson Drive. They just changed the street name to Coach Richardson. So I got that. Then I walk over to Bud Walton, and they've now got Coach Richardson's logo and name on the floor. And then I go to practice, and it's now named Eddie Sutton Practice. So all these three things just happened in the last 12 months.
Yeah, no pressure.
So I got to look at all these Hall of Fame coaches wherever I walk on campus. But yes, college athletics, whether it's college football, college basketball, the game has changed. Luckily at Nevada, we were kind of at the forefront of the transfers, so that we don't even flinch with roster changing. I think when you coach in the G League or the D League, you're used to, you know, guys coming and going. And so you really don't, that doesn't bother me at all. And I was talking to one of our athletic directors here, and he brought up Now, Eric, I hope you understand, you know, that the name, image, and likeness is going to, you know, it's going to affect all the locker rooms on campus, whether it be the football locker room or the basketball locker room. And, you know, an in-state player might end up with getting, you know, being able to benefit more off name, image, and likeness. And what if that player is a backup point guard and you have a you have a starting point guard who doesn't have as much social media influence as maybe another guy, and how do those dynamics work? I kind of laughed because it's like, okay, well, the world I came from and kind of grew up on, that NBA, like, that's what happens. And so the college athletics is now turning into what pro sports is, although we all know they're student athletes. But from a business aspect, now you have mobility and freedom of movement like a free agent, coming and going, rosters constantly changing from year to year. Now you add in the name, image, and likeness, which is going to affect an athletic department as well. You could have a gymnast who has a high, you know, social media influencer, and that gymnast could make more money maybe than a starting quarterback, so to speak. So there's a lot of dynamics at play, and you've got to be flexible. You got to be on top of your game. You've got to be studying this. I've had my son now for a year and a half who's on staff here, Michael, who went to Monta Vista there in the Bay Area. He's been studying this name, image, and likeness for over a year and a half and trying to strategize and how do you utilize it in recruiting and so on and so forth. So definitely, Rod, the landscape of college athletics has changing and will continue to change as we move forward.
Hey, Moss, if you could explain how the transfer portal works to the people that are listening and me. Are there just guys floating around in there, and you have a coach that always scanning the portal and looking for players that may be of interest? Do players get in touch with you? If one of your players goes into the portal, can he come back, or is he in the portal and he's gone at that point? I kind of get it, but I'm not sure exactly the whole dynamic and how the transfer portal works. And then if you could maybe talk about, like, really how it's affected, you know, Division I football and basketball.
Yep. So, I mean, if you go back even like, four or five years, there was no portal. A student athlete would have to come and meet with you. He would have to go then to compliance. The coaching staff, could say, hey, you're not going to play in conference, or you're not going to play at these five schools. So you had much more control when a player left. Now a player does not have to meet with you. A player can just go to compliance or even call compliance and say, I want to be in the portal, and within 48 business hours, that player's name will appear in the portal with an email, and then you can email or track down the player's number, and then the recruiting process starts, and it happens very, very quickly. A lot of these guys are committed sometimes within 24 hours, sometimes, you know, a month. So that's kind of how they go into the portal. Unfortunately for us, we've never had a player call us and say, hey, you know, I'm in the portal, are you interested? Okay. It's a recruiting 24 hours, you know, for until a guy comes. I mean, it's relentless. But that's a lot easier and a lot better than recruiting a player for 2 years, right, and talking to that player, going to his high school, watching games, doing in-home visits. And then, oh, by the way, you didn't make my top five. So from a time management standpoint, you know, the portal, I think, is actually, you know, much more effective way of utilizing your time. And then you have a body of work. When it's a Division I transfer, you can watch him play against other Division I players. A lot less risk. And we use the terminology, a transfer is just like an NBA free agent. There's a body of work. You can kind of see how he fits. And quite frankly, a high school player is kind of like a draft pick. And then if it's a five-star, that guy might be like a lottery pick. And if a guy's a four-star, he might be like a late first-round talent. Mm-hmm. And then if a guy's a three-star, he's a second-rounder, a non-drafted guy. And And just as there's these dilemmas, mistakes, misevaluation for NBA teams that actually get to bring players in and evaluate them and watch them, and they're older than a high school player, so you can only imagine how many mistakes you could make from an evaluation standpoint. You know, when you're trying to eval a high school guy compared to what the NBA, who has 2, 3, you know, sometimes 4 years older of a player and a body of work to go off.
Yeah. You know, how much tampering goes on where coaches from other schools are still recruiting players that aren't on their team, even though they're on another team, and they just say, hey, you know, if you ever want to, you know, you can go to the portal. We're going to be interested in you. I can't imagine that doesn't go on. If it does, how big a concern is that players continue to recruit players or keep in contact with them, text them while they're on other teams?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a huge concern, and I think that over time, you know, just as the NBA did a great job with the tampering, you know, with a team or an organization talking to a free agent before that midnight, you know, open season of free agency. And they made examples. The NBA did with heavy fines. You go all the way back to the Timberwolves, you know, with Flip Saunders and KG. And so it you know, I think there's going to have to be some examples made. You know, for instance, if we're playing a certain team and one of my players is inbounding the ball in front of his bench and there's a conversation, you know what? Maybe I'd kind of know the guy a little bit, and you're thinking, you know what? I wonder what that conversation's about.
Yeah.
Because I don't think he's talking about game coverages right now. You know. Now I could just see a guy. You know, hey, your muscleman's back up. You know, he should be giving you more shots. You know,
yeah.
Come on over to our place, and you know, I'm sure that goes on. But the biggest thing is you got to treat your players the right way, and you got to recruit your own guys on a daily basis. You got to have a good culture, yeah, so that your really talented players want to play for you. And I think that's a big key as the landscape has changed.
You know, and I think if I were you, I'd be excited about it because I think this really jives with your whole skill set. I mean, you can sell. I mean, you would have been great at sales. I'm reading this story about Trey Wade from Wichita State. And I'm reading that he's like the fifth transfer you've had. And I'm reading a quote from Wade here, and he's like, I got a call from Coach Musselman. We talked it out. And then he goes on to say, he understands it's my last year and there's things that I want to accomplish. So take us through that call, Eric. I mean, when you're talking, obviously, you know what his agenda is, but you have your own agenda. So how does that dialogue go if you're on the phone with a potential transfer like Trey? What's your pitch?
You know, I think there's a lot of different pitches, Larry, that we kind of go off. But our big thing is, hey, we're not going to promise anyone minutes. We're not going to promise anyone a starting spot. And I try to tell the student athlete, like, that's a really good thing because we're not telling other guys that either. So you can play here and know that, you know, we're not going to be hamstrung, so to speak, by you know, this guy's got to play because of a certain reason. You know, we all know, like, on losing teams, a lot of times the lottery pick just gets handed minutes. I learned a really, really valuable lesson coaching the Warriors at a young age. Bobby Sura had kind of grabbed me, and he said, hey, look, man, if you play who deserves to play, you know, the vets on this team will, you know, we'll keep the locker room going. But if you just start handing out minutes to the young guys, this locker room is going to be like it has been, you know, the last 3 or 4 years. And that stuck with me. And to be honest with you, it really had a huge impact on how I proceeded coaching Golden State. You know, some of the young guys played a lot. Some of them didn't. And I think your internal leadership, and Tom can tell you how important the veterans are in an NBA locker room. And I made a choice that, you know, I was going to play who I thought was the best players, not play who management wanted me to play. I wanted the respect of the players as best I could have as a young coach, still kind of learning you know, the NBA, and anytime you're given an opportunity at that young of an age, and that's, we've taken that philosophy here. I mean, you obviously sell a player on your roster, you sell a player on being a top 10 preseason team in the country, but you also, you know, for us at least, what's worked really well, you guys, is do not negative recruit. Mm-hmm. I never ask who else is recruiting you, and it's really interesting. We had a tailgate the other day before our baseball game, and the players kind of felt loose with me, and they were like telling me, "Hey, coach, this school put up 4 negative slides about Arkansas, and that really turned my mom off." And so when I hear those things, it's like, "Hey, sell who you are, sell what your culture is all about, tell the player the truth." I like to tell players what they need to work on. You know, hey, you've got to become a better perimeter shooter. You've got to become a better ball handler. You know what? Your next step is not going to be an NBA first round pick. You got to hope to possibly play your way into the second round. Or, hey, this player, you might have to go to Europe for 2 or 3 years and then come back and look at trying to make a training camp. So all those really truthful comments and statements or conversations, I think, are really, really important. And then, you know, when we get a high school guy in and we start talking about recruiting, we try to tell them, hey, we've been in draft rooms. Like, Keith Smart has been a head coach of 3 NBA teams. He is on our staff. Like, he knows what goes on in draft rooms. Clay Mosier has 17 years of NBA experience. We're telling you exactly what the formula is, not these other guys that act like they've never been in a draft room. How do they know? And so some of those are the type conversations we have.
Yeah, sometimes the truth isn't what you want to hear, but in the end, it's what's best. And like, players will recognize that. And I know I hated the – I was one of the players that hated the negative recruiting. I was just like, I'm asking – sell me on your school. Why I should go to your school, not why I shouldn't go to another school. I can figure that out on my own, why I shouldn't go somewhere. I want to know why I should go here. And it's just too bad. I mean, that's the big business that is college athletics. That happens way more often than it should. But I always think when somebody negative recruits, then they're not secure enough to tell you what's positive about their school. If you have enough positive things to say about your school and break it down for a student athlete, and then if they want to go, they want to go. If they don't want to go, then that's probably best anyway. But I don't want someone going to my school because they didn't want to go to another school. That just never made any sense to me.
No, I mean, it really, really, you know, truly doesn't. And I think when teams do that, regardless of sport, it's probably when they're starting to panic, you know, and I think that recruits can really feel that as well.
Yeah. Go here. They suck. Well, that's not a reason. Thanks. I appreciate it, though.
Not a good reason.
Hey, Coach, we always appreciate you coming on. We're happy for you. They had a hell of a season last year. Hopefully you can duplicate it again this season and maybe go a couple steps further, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you once basketball season gets rolling around again.
Yeah, thanks, you guys. I was ready to talk about some of these NBA playoffs in that Sixers-Hawks game.
Well, what do you think, real quick? Give me that one, because that's the next game up. What do you think about that? I still think Philly gets this one, but Trae Young might have something to say about that.
Embiid has got to stop dropping so deep in those pick and rolls. I mean, from an X and O standpoint, that has got to, you know, that's got to change. And then how is Philadelphia going to attack Trae Young defensively becomes really, really important. And Young's done a great job of making floaters and getting to the paint instead of only relying on that three ball. So I think those are three, you know, really key factors in that Sixers-Hawks series.
What's the point in having a player like Ben Simmons if you ain't going to use him to guard a guy like Trae Young? What are we doing here? Because Danny Green ain't getting it done.
No.
No, I mean, the thing is with Danny Green, because Danny actually played for me with the Reno Bighorns in the G League, and I mean, he's a really smart defender,
sure,
but he's getting up there in age. And, you know, to guard Trae, that's hard on Danny. And I do agree with you, Rod. Like, you know, maybe the length, and Ben Simmons is a smart defender. I mean, that could certainly, you know, the more multiple looks defensively you can give a star player,
right,
I think the more it benefits the defensive team.
Yeah. You know what surprises me, too? I know we got to run, but what surprises me is you get these centers, Embiid, Jokic is another guy, that don't want to come out and guard these pick and rolls. And they're just going to run pick and rolls at those guys and walk into threes or walk into coming downhill at you. It really surprises me that they can't figure out a way to pass that thing off. At least occasionally. I mean, they'll figure it out. They're gonna, if that's the pick and roll they want, they'll just keep running it until they get to that pick and roll. But you have two guys on one side. One may be a center. One may be like a marginal shooter. It's like, well, you know what? I'll pass you off. I'll pass the power forward or the small forward, whoever, off to the pick and roll, and let me stay down here. And again, NBA teams they'll figure it out eventually. But they never do it. It's a big guy just comes, you know, I'll come wander out to the free throw line and stand at the free throw line. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, I know you're not comfortable being out there as a big guy, but in today's basketball games, you just can't have a center that plays drop coverage. I mean, you'll get slaughtered, absolutely slaughtered.
I mean, you gotta kind of be in that, you know, I think some teams have called it a fly switch where on the, like you're talking about, Tom, or on the weak side, you know, you run a more mobile guy, and then the big kind of stays in the paint. Mm-hmm. We have a 7-3 center that we've really tried working on that aspect with, where he just stays as a goalie and just guards the closest guy in the dunker spot. And I think that becomes advantageous for these guys that really can't move laterally maybe as much as some of the quicker guards.
No doubt about it. Hey, Moss, thanks so much for joining us. We always appreciate it, and we'll give you a call soon, man.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Moss.
Not all guarantees are created equal. That's what makes the Total Trust Guarantee from Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service so special. It gives you 20/20 vision into the work we do. And now, you can get $10 off any 17-point oil change. Go to speedyoil.com/save for details. Speedy Oil Change and Auto Service, where you're in and out and back on the road with full service and total trust. Most vehicles discount off regular price. See store for details. See website for details on the Total Trust Guarantee.